Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew 20, verses 9 through 11 and 13 through 15. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, or do you begrudge my generosity?" I often have reason to think of some words of Dr. Samuel Johnson, that great 18th century man of letters and deeply serious Christian, who with his typical candor once said, "It does a troubled soul good to be heard. It does a troubled soul good to be heard." And I also often think that in this terribly busy, self-absorbed, hurried, even frenzied age, one of the best gifts we can give is the gift of attentiveness, of giving others a chance to be heard, to unburden themselves, and so helped on life's rocky, often daunting way. It does a troubled soul good to be heard. But what about the chronic complainers, which I have to admit I myself have been more often than I care to remember? Just ask my long-suffering friends. Grumbling, dissatisfaction, complaint. If you know your Bible, you know that the scriptures are full of it from the very beginning. And grumbling is a common thread in all three readings for this Lord's Day. In the Old Testament lesson, we heard of how the people of Israel, having just been wonderfully delivered from slavery in Egypt, grumbled against Moses in the wilderness. In the epistle, St. Paul tells us that even though the people of Israel had been rescued from Pharaoh's pursuing army at the Red Sea and provided with food and drink in the wilderness, with most of them, God was not well pleased. If we ask why, Paul goes on to speak not only of their sins of idolatry and sexual immorality, but also of their grumbling against Moses and against God, just as we already have heard in the Old Testament lesson. And then in the gospel just read, we hear of how at the end of the day, the workers who'd worked all day grumbled that they'd received no more in wages than those who'd worked just 1 hour. Can't you just hear them? These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, yet you have put them on a level with us who have sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. So how is it with you and with me? Well, it's hard not to sympathize with the men who worked all day and got no more than those who'd worked just 1 hour. It most certainly doesn't seem fair. The same wages for 12 hours work and for only 1 hour's work. Surely any business which carried on in that way would quickly go out of business. But in this story, our Lord isn't giving lessons about management and labor and just wages. He's telling a parable. And a parable is one of those surprising, sometimes puzzling stories Jesus tells to point to the mystery of his person, to point to the mystery of who he in fact is, and what God the Father is doing through him. And so Jesus doesn't begin this story by saying, "Now this is how the world should be run and business done." He begins the story by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." As if to say, this is what it's like when God the heavenly King, in sheer goodness, brings his lost and wayward children back to himself. And how is this done? Through the costly sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. There, one of the Holy Trinity suffers in the flesh for our salvation. And so this parable, and all the parables, finally lead us to the cross of Calvary, where God himself suffers the judgment we grumbling, wayward children of Adam in fact deserve. In Jesus' suffering of what we deserve, we are wonderfully given to beyond calculation and all imagining. As St. Paul says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, God has prepared for those who love him." Of course our sense of fairness is offended when we hear how men who'd work just 1 hour received the same wages as those who'd worked 12. But that's just the point. Namely this, that our place in God's kingdom isn't a matter of fairness, but of goodness. Not our goodness, but God's goodness. Not at all our achievement, but altogether his gift. So how is it with you and with me? Well, whenever we find ourselves grumbling about our lot in life, and who of us hasn't, we're in effect saying, as did those first called laborers in the vineyard, that we in fact deserve much better. But what do we in fact deserve? Well, here the words of the liturgy bring us back to sanity, to truth. For what do we in fact say in the confession at the beginning of the divine service? We say that as sinners we deserve God's punishment now and forever. And in the appointed prayer for this Sunday we speak of that how, although we are freely and fully forgiven, we also suffer the consequences of our sins. And one measure of the sincerity of our repentance is the humility with which we accept without grumbling the consequences of our sins, being fully assured that in all things, even in the worst of circumstances, God truly works for good with those who love him. Immediately after the end of this parable, St. Matthew goes on to tell us that Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." This Sunday is called Septuagesima because it's about 70 days until Easter. And Easter is not just another date in the calendar, it's not just another holy day. Easter is, together with Good Friday, the foundation of all our faith and hope. sheer gift from the God who deals with us not as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as we are known and loved in his own dear Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we pray, O Savior of the world, grant that we may always glory in your saving cross and praise and glorify your holy resurrection. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father of all.